In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But we turn our attention to Seattle for the third preseason game of the year and the final preseason game of the year coming up on Saturday night to give us a lowdown on what's going on, especially with those injuries. Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mary Kay, you ready for a long, long trip for a long weekend here?
I guess so. We were supposed to be going to Buffalo for this game. That was the initial hope. And here we are, going all the way out to Seattle for this preseason game, which I wish they could either play it remotely or that we could meet in the middle of the country somewhere and do this. This is going to be a long, long trip for everybody involved.
Maybe play somewhere in South Dakota?
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Why would you go far south, so far south, Jeff? Just so all you got to do, I-90.
I don't think
you just
got
to meet somewhere on I-90. That's all you got to do. It's a straight shot.
Mary Kay, I'm sorry for the geography lesson you're having to listen to.
No problem. But this is going to, I mean, I think it is actually going to be a little bit of a taxing trip for, you know, for the players, for everybody. But they'll have plenty of time to come home and regroup after it. The other thing, of course, is that for fans, it's at 10 p.m. on Saturday night. So have your little espresso and get ready to stay up late.
Well, how did this game come about and why didn't they get Buffalo?
I don't really know the answer to that. But, yeah, this is not this is not ideal for anyone, but as Kevin Stefanski always says, we just show up and play them when they tell us to.
It's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. If they tell Deshaun Watson to play, will he play? And I would assume that they need to see him a little bit, Mary Kay. And correct me if I'm wrong, four of your five starting offensive linemen, if you want to consider DeJuan Jones a starting offensive lineman because he was at the end of the year, four of the five guys would be good to go if they wanted to against Seattle?
Yeah, so he would have his usual blockers in front of him except for whatever is going to be happening over there at left tackle. We're not sure about that yet. We'll know more when we get out there today. We have Kevin at 12, and then we have practice this afternoon, and I think we'll get a little bit of insight into a lot of things, actually. Is Denzel still in the concussion protocol, some things like that? We'll find out who's working over there at left tackle. We know it's not going to be James Hudson. It might be Jermaine Ifedi. So there's a lot going on there, but I do think that it still is smart to play Deshaun Watson in this game for a little bit because procedurally he has to get out there and make sure everything's going well with getting the plays called, with getting things through the headset, just whatever, sliding protections, all, you know, the speed of the game, all of those things that you have to go through in a game. And we know that they had problems against the Vikings. They threw a lot at them. Procedurally, they did not handle it very well, and they need to shore that up.
Mary Kay, what's your gut feeling on a couple players heading into those first 4 weeks of the season where they're sitting on the PUP right now, and will they stay on that when the season starts? So let me go through them real quick. Jed Wills, what's your gut feeling on that?
You know, I know they're expecting Jed back. It's so hard to say. I wish I had a great answer for you, but they are keeping this a mystery. So I cannot
say. Same as Jack Conklin?
Yes. I can't say for sure. I just know that they are expecting at least one of those guys back for the opener.
How about Nick? I think there was some added excitement because he hopped on the pregame, or he hopped on during the game, during the preseason on TV, and I think the excitement level kind of started jumping a little. I still can't see him playing in the first four games. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that he can play, but I'm haunted by that injury from last year, no matter how, you know, how tough he looks in the weight room. What are your thoughts on Nick?
Well, it's still in play. The first four games are still in play for him right now at this moment. Of course, they've got big decisions to make on August 27th, and on that day, they can designate two IR guys for return that don't count against your 53. So they've got a few ways that they can go about this, but I still think Nick is in play for one of those first four games, so we'll have to see how that goes, and I know he really wants it. So, again, these things are all up in the air, and nobody really knows for sure where they're going yet.
All right, I won't even ask about Dalvin Tomlinson then, because I'm assuming he falls under the same answer.
Well, I talked to Dalvin after a game, after the first game, and he said he's ready by the opener. So,
oh,
we'll
good.
See how that goes.
Good. That's mm-hmm. Okay, so I knew if I asked enough questions, I'd get some good news. Thank you, Mary.
Sure. How about this question? What are you going to do cut down day at quarterback? Well, let's say somebody doesn't get traded. How are they going to handle that, Mary Kay? Because you don't want to expose DTR to an opportunity to get grabbed up, would you?
No, I mean, if you did that, you would probably end up losing him. I think somebody would snatch him up as a backup or as a third quarterback on their roster. So you probably really can't afford to do that. If anything, maybe they will try to get something for Tyler Huntley and try to keep DTR on the 53. But once again, these are big decisions that have to be made. I think what saves the Browns a little bit is they have enough injured guys right now that they can, you know, put some guys on IR, keep some guys on some injury lists, waive some guys injured, do some things that way, and keep around people that they want. But I certainly don't see four quarterbacks, obviously, on the 53, maybe one of them. I don't know if you can get Huntley onto the practice squad. Probably not. These are all big decisions for August 27th.
Mary Kay, how many wide receivers do you think they're going to keep, and where does David Bell sit right now? I know he's got that knee injury. He's dealing with that a little bit right now. But, you know, it's funny. I don't know, maybe this is the end of the road for him. And then I start hearing things that he's really well-liked in the building and that they like him and that he's not going anywhere.
The adoption papers for David Bell to be able to become David Baskin are almost complete now, Mary Kay.
Why? Because I'm asking a question. You know, Jeff can't handle it.
You love him, baby. That's all right.
If Jeff had his way, DeShone Kizer would still be the starting quarterback.
You're saying the truth there.
So we're good with that.
Well, David Bell is very well liked in the building and on the team, and I know that they're going to do everything they can to try to keep him on the team. Again, he's a guy that has a quad injury right now, so maybe he becomes an injury situation, and that enables them to keep one other guy at receiver. They'll keep at least six, but you know, I know they have probably seven that they would like to keep around if possible. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I still think they really like David Bell, and they're going to do everything they can to keep him on the team.
You comfortable with where the running backs are right now, Mary Kay? You know, with no real thought on where Nick Chubb is going to be able to play or when he might be back, obviously. But with Jerome Ford, with Foreman, after, you know, not having success on the ground, I blame the offensive line for that, but looking good in the passing game.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to accomplish the running game. Of course, right now they're having issues on their offensive line, and that never helps your running game. But they haven't game planned for a running game. They haven't done anything like that. They have, they've got running game coordinator now. They are really going to work hard to make sure that they have a good running game even before Nick comes back. So, yes, I think they'll be okay there. I think that combination of Jerome and Pierre, Dante Foreman, I really do think that they'll be just fine in that regard.
Mary Kay, where do you think we're going with these preseason games in the future? I mean, I've listened to these two guys whine and complain about having to play this game on Saturday night so late because they've got to stay up late. And I do feel bad for them. I mean, it's way past their bedtime. But where do you think we're going with these preseason games, knowing that the commissioner is not in favor of them and wants to add the 18th game? Do we see more inter-squad scrimmages? Do they open inter-squad scrimmages up to television or local TV so that they can broadcast those? Rather, where are we going with this thing? Because I've heard a lot of disgruntled folks over the preseason this year, more than ever.
Well, when you hear the commissioner saying that he wants to abolish the preseason games and go to 18 games, I think that's exactly what he's going to ask for and probably get. And then I think there will be a little bit more focus on those joint practices. But as I said in a tweet the other day, I think they should be collectively bargained and part of this process. so that you're not asking players to almost essentially play two more football games without that being factored into the money and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's probably going to be the way to go. It's really not fair to drag people to these stadiums and make them pay full price for these games. You look out there and you see, you know, Browns fans trying to enjoy themselves and coming out, you know, kind of in full force, but really a lot of empty seats, and it's just really not the product that they're paying for. So I think they should go.
We haven't seen anything with the new kickoff yet. And the only thing we've kind of seen is, boy, you know, maybe they should move it to the 35-yard line because teams are still booting the ball out of the end zone. What do you think is going to happen when the regular season starts?
I heard Sean Payton the other day saying that they thought they could tweak it even before the regular season starts because it's too confusing for everybody involved, including the fans that are trying to figure out, oh, what happens in this situation and that situation. But then now I'm hearing that they might not tweak it before the regular season starts. So maybe they'll just head into it, see how it goes, and then revise the whole thing after this season. Once they see how it actually does play out in real time, I think there will be some unintended consequences. There could be some injuries. It just could kind of go by the wayside a little bit. So it's experimental. This was not a change that was made permanently, and they're going to see how it's going to go.
Do you think teams are going to kick the ball out of the end zone, or are they going to kick it in that landing zone and see what happens?
I think there will be a number of different strategies as we get into the regular season, and whatever starts to be successful and how teams adjust to it is how it will go as the season goes along. And I think teams will pivot, and how it starts is not going to be how it ends up.
All right, Mary Kay, without getting into the minutia, the whole stadium thing and what's going to just timeline wise, where do you think we are in this, and how soon do you think the Browns need to make a decision on whether they want to stay on the lakefront or leave the lakefront?
That's a good question. I think they need to make a decision within the next couple of months. It's time to move forward on whichever plan that they're going with. I know that the county not jumping on board or kind of going against the dome didn't help their cause at all. But I don't think they're deterred by that necessarily. So, you know, I think they've got to hurry up and decide what they want to do and let everyone know and really start to move forward here.
The county does know Brook Park's in Cuyahoga County, right? Do you think they got the memo on that or no?
No, they did. But I think, I think that they really wanted to get behind the revitalization of downtown Cleveland and make sure that they are on board and part of all of that and all of the lakefront development and whatnot. So I think that's where they're at with that.
I couldn't even get you to crack a smile on that one, a little geography lesson there. That's what we do. I mean, we're worried about meeting on I-90 to play this game against the Seahawks and trying to figure out if Brook Park's in Cuyahoga County. This is what we're doing as we wait for this last preseason game. Just so you know that, Mary Kay. So are you all set? Are you all packed? You ready to leave?
Oh, I'm never packed until the very, very last minute. I'm not good at that. I'm not even sure if I'm unpacked from the Greenbrier, to be honest with you.
Well, that's good. Then you're ready to go.
Of course. My usual.
All right, Mary Kay, thank you. As always, we look forward to talking to you next week as we get a little bit closer to the season. Next week is cut down day two, I think, next time we talk to you. So That'll be awesome. So thank you, Mary Kay.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.
All right, she is Mary Kay Cabot. She joins us every Tuesday at 11 o'clock to give us the insight. Plenty of good stuff. We're going to go through some of it when we come back here in a second. And, of course, she was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, training camp is where we are right now. We're still talking a little bit about that. Excuse me, Mary Kay Cabot. Bringing up some interesting points about this week's game against the Seattle Seahawks. They were supposed to play this game against Buffalo, and somehow, some way, it ended up becoming Seattle. How does that happen?
You'd have to ask the schedule.
I don't understand. Especially when you think about what a long trip it is. I don't care that they're playing in Seattle on Saturday. I know people want to say, well, you got to stay up late at night, blah, blah, blah. It's a game that doesn't mean anything, but it is a little, I mean, if they didn't have the next week off, it might be a little bit taxing on the team trying to come back. But then again, they're professional athletes, so they're okay with it. We did come up with the idea that maybe they should have played this game halfway. If that place would have been in South Dakota, probably is where they should have played this game, in Rapid City. South Dakota, which would have been almost exactly halfway between Seattle and Cleveland. Thank you. I even have a stadium for him, too. Dunham Field at O'Hara Memorial Stadium. Division II college. They can play there. Get about 5,000 at the game.
Is it available or is there a tractor pull? May have to check.
Oh, I didn't even think about it. Oh, this could be the rodeo week, too.
Hey,
I should look and see what county it is, too. This isn't a bad week for rodeos and counties and county fairs, especially out west. Yeah. You know what? You're a lot smarter than I am. I just did not think about that. I did not think about that at all. Jeff, when we talked to Mary Kay, you know, we talked a little bit about the future of where we might be with these preseason games and what they might do with them. And it does seem like it is inevitable that the preseason games are going to go away. What do you think?
It's only a matter of time. You know, they're not going to get an 18th game and leave the preseason intact. That's just not going to happen. I just think, Andy, they need to. You know the worst thing? You saw the stadium the other night against Minnesota. Place was empty. You know, the weather was questionable, and the place was empty. So combine preseason with some questionable weather, that's not a good look for the NFL.
$5 tickets?
Right. It's not a good look. And then the product that's on the field is not a good look. So it brings up, I mean, I understand, you know, getting to watch some young guys and the coaches getting to get tape. And I even understand the young guys trying to earn a job, whether with that team or with somebody else. I get all that. So do you. But for the league as a whole, I don't think it's a good idea to put an inferior product on the field in front of minuscule fan attendance. It's just not a good idea.
Although we did get used to it during the pandemic, the empty stadiums, right?
Well, a little bit. That's a different beast, completely, though.
Yeah, I know. I want to see how this plays out. Here's what Mary Kay had to say about, you know, the future of the preseason in the NFL.
When you hear the commissioner saying that he wants to abolish the preseason games and go to 18 games, I think that's exactly what he's going to ask for and probably get. And then I think there will be a little bit more focus on those joint practices. But as I said in a tweet the other day, I think they should be collectively bargained and part of this process so that you're not asking players to almost essentially play two more football games without that being factored into the money and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's probably going to be the way to go. It's really not fair to drag people to these stadiums and make them pay full price for these games. You look out there and you see, you know, Browns fans trying to enjoy themselves and coming out, you know, kind of in full force, but really a lot of empty seats, and it's just really not the product that they're paying for. So I think they should go.
I'll say this, you know, the weather, although I left before the weather got crazy last week, that, you know, the weather's been pretty good for these things. I think there's an opportunity to really enhance the fan experience during these preseason, whatever they were going to be. I think that they, you know, I go back and they haven't done it in a couple of years. I thought those family nights that they used to do for the, you know, like the Brown and Orange scrimmage, and they had fireworks afterwards.
Yeah, those were cool.
I thought that was a great idea. Like, especially for families that, you know, can't afford or just, it's just too much to try to ask them to go to a game. You know, now, again, tickets were $5 for last week's game, so, you know, cheaper than a movie if you're still going to movies. There's got to be a happy medium, too, because, y'all realize that NFL football teams like the preseason games on TV because they get the local revenue on that. The rest of the season, all that stuff goes into, you know, the big pot for the entire NFL. So when we talk about these billion-dollar contracts, they're split 32 ways. But when it comes to the local stuff, like if you're the Giants or the Jets, you're really loving it because you can charge top dollar for advertising, and all that money comes right back to your franchise. Same here, right? All the local money that happens on the preseason games, it's almost like their version of the baseball contract. But they know, and they gave up a game already, and then the locals have to give up games along the way too. Anytime a national picks it up and takes national rights, then the locals end up losing them. So they may have had a deal to show at one point four preseason games, and the next thing you know, if you're one of the big teams in the NFL, you only have two or three. And so the money changed a little bit of different hands on that too. There's got to be a way that you can kind of make everybody happy. I think Mary Kay's right. you know, get rid of these games, add the 18th game. Who knows? You know, adding an 18th regular season game may make up for all the preseason lost revenue that the NFL was making. Because let's face it.
I would think it would, Andy.
Yeah, NFL is not about losing money in any way, shape, or form. Plus, they're not about losing it.
Where are you going to make more money? By putting an extra game in with attendance or running preseason games that don't have attendance?
That's why I think that, and I think that we've seen this over the last couple of years, because ESPN has really kind of dropped into this, showing these preseason games for college football and turning them into an event. I think that that is what would happen for NFL teams if they chose to do that with either joint practices or, you know, brown and orange scrimmages if they wanted to televise those. And crazy as it may sound, people will watch. They still will watch that because they're hungry for football, especially if you've gone months without it. And, you know, your last game was the Super Bowl, and you're listening to, oh, what's going on in minicamp? And now you get a chance to actually see the team, even if it's in a practice setting. And we might actually learn more about the team in the practice setting than we do in some of these preseason games where we're not seeing any of the starters. So what if you throw your starters out there first and 10, you know, for 10 plays in a row, like the coaches like, because they want to see what it looks like. So I think all of those things are kind of on the table.
I just think it's just a matter of time. They're not going to go to 18 games and leave the preseason as it is. So when they finally make that move, we'll get a big adjustment. And I don't think anyone will miss those preseason games. You like those practices, do a couple of more of those, and then just call it a day. That's about all you have to do, Andy. I really do think it's that simple. The NFL just has to wrap its head around the fact that, okay, we're going to lose some of this preseason television. You know, that's content for the NFL Network, which I think is a big deal, you know, because they run
all of them. But that's also content for the teams and for the local affiliates that are running those games too.
Right. But, I mean, they pack it. They pack the NFL Network with replays of all those games. And you'll just move on to something else, an 18th week that people will actually care about. Spread, you know, put in another bye week, you're going to end up with just as much TV.
Would you watch the combined practices on TV if you knew they were on?
Absolutely not.
You wouldn't. Dan, nope. Would you?
No way in hell.
Jake, would you? Would you watch them? Nope.
Dan,
no. Not one of you guys would watch them, really?
Nope.
No.
Have you ever watched the Ohio State spring game?
Nope.
Anybody's spring game?
I've seen it.
Have you?
Have not, no.
Wow.
Andy, I've seen a lot of football practice over the years.
Yeah.
I don't need to see more.
Gentlemen, I got a half-baked idea.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. So let's try to kill two birds with one stone here on multiple things that annoy all of us as football fans and see if we could just knock it out in one foul swoop, and in that way we all only suffer once. And by that we mean nobody can stand preseason games and we can't stand international games. Okay? Those are like one of the bigger complaints that we have.
I don't hate the international games.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, does it lean further toward a 1 or a 10?
It leans about a 4, so
see,
a little closer.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really mind the 9 a.m. kickoff.
Well, that's because your team's not playing in it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, all we're suffering
through is what the West Coast suffers through every week.
Well, you don't even think about it. And then if I wanted that, I would move to Oregon.
All right.
But I don't. You're so ornery.
I enjoy getting up in the morning on Sunday and watching the 9 o'clock football game. I don't mind that international game either.
I like it.
But I wouldn't want our team to be playing in it.
Correct. So it's about a 4 on the Phelps scale. Mm-hmm. I'd assume, what, about a 6 for you?
Yeah, it's about a 6.
About a 6?
Yeah,
okay.
6.5.
So a little bit further down on the scale than where we would like it. So let's combine these two.
6.5.
European soccer is notorious.
Oh, you lost me. It's a 0 then.
For the preseason, what they'll do for warm-up games is they'll send them internationally. And they'll have teams like Arsenal and Bournemouth played in California, Manchester City and Chelsea played down in Columbus, down at the Shoe. They'll send these international games, are all preseason games. Basically preseason warm-ups.
Oh, they're not friendlies, they're just preseasons?
They're preseason warm-up friendly, it's all the same general idea. Again, the score doesn't matter. So basically you're playing friendlies right now, except you call them preseason football.
Yeah, we can't call them friendlies, that's way too not cool
exactly.
enough.
Exactly,
and you're not allowed to call them exhibition either.
Yeah, we're not doing, you know, George Carlin over here with the difference between baseball and football.
Kick butt games in the NFL.
So
we're going to play some kick butts.
So let's kill two birds with one stone. What if we take all these preseason games and have one of them played in England, and we'll play another one in Brazil, and we'll play another one in Spain, and let's take another one to Germany.
But you're still trying to get ready for the season, and now instead of going to Greenbrier for a week, you're going to
Munich,
Edinburgh for a week. Yeah,
which is delightful this time of year.
You're not thinking like Roger Goodell. That's the is the problem with your thought process right
you
now.
You give me his checkbook, I'll think like him.
You're not thinking like Roger. Roger is thinking we're going to grow the game internationally. Growing the game internationally is not sending the international folks the crap we see in the preseason. That's just not, hey, would you like to pay a lot of money to watch fourth stringers who hope to play in the UFL next spring?
Should they move the preseason games away from the NFL stadiums? Because, you know, we could put over $1 billion in our stadium and take two more dates away from them. That'd be a great idea.
Can't give you a little bit of news.
Just get rid of the preseason. It's so obvious and simple. Just get rid of it.
That's two less dates for the stadium, too, by the way. Keep going.
Our buddy Zach Jackson on The Athletic up here on The X. As the Browns prepare to go through the process of preparing to make their final summer roster decisions, they have been willing to explore the possibility of trading quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Ooh. Let's talk about that when we come back. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Browns are at Seattle on Saturday night. Now, it's something that I think we've all looked at and we've all talked about, especially knowing the quarterbacks that the Browns currently have. Deshaun Watson's your starter. Jameis Winston is your backup. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is probably number three. Tyler Huntley is number four. And we know that that's – and it just seems like it's a wealth of quarterbacks and guys with experience and guys that understand how to play in the NFL. I'll talk to you on Tuesday whether I think we should trade one of these guys, because I'll wait through one more preseason game to make sure that we don't find ourselves in the same position that we did last year with Josh Dobbs. Jeff, I also wonder, and you said it, I think you said it with Mary Kay, do you think they could get Dorian Thompson-Robinson back to the practice squad if they needed to?
Mm-hmm. She thought maybe not.
And I think there's a lot of people. If you would have, you know.
That's why I asked her. I don't think they can either.
I don't think so. Chris Rose was like last year, the same question came up, and Chris was like, no way. No. You know, he looks like this. He looks like that. And then so I think there are a lot of people that think that if the Browns tried to sneak Dorian Thompson-Robinson onto the practice squad, that wouldn't happen. How about another twist to this, Dan Menigan?
Twist.
So according to our buddy Zach Jackson of The Athletic in a piece that he recently posted, the Cleveland Browns have discussed a potential trade of second-year quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson with multiple teams. Two league sources with knowledge of the discussions told The Athletic. Thompson-Robinson, of course, competing with Huntley, backup job behind Watson and Jameis, though a league source said the Browns had been willing to engage in discussions about moving Thompson-Robinson with teams looking to bolster their quarterback rooms. It is unclear if Cleveland is close to a deal. That's courtesy of our buddy Zach Jackson of The Athletic.
Jeff, I would make the Browns wait until next Tuesday, and then I might try to make a deal with them after. Maybe to have to keep them on the roster, to keep four guys on the roster, and then try to manipulate the roster next week.
What do you mean you would? If you're another
team? If I was another team, I don't know that I would make a deal, because the Browns are going to have to do something with one of these quarterbacks, right?
Except for one thing. If you're another team and you really want him, you want to compete with everybody else?
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think patience pays here on that.
I don't think so. Not at that position.
I do.
You see some of the quarterbacks.
Because you're talking about backup third string, right? Second, third.
Well, backup third string here. He might be somebody's backup quarterback.
Someone's going to get Tyler Huntley or Dorian Thompson-Robinson if they want them.
That is correct.
So that's already there. The question is, would the Browns have to release or waive or try waive, meaning trying to get them back to the practice squad, whether Dorian Thompson-Robinson in particular?
If I
were the Browns, I would be out talking to everybody too.
Which guy do you think has more value around the league? I would wager to say it's Tyler Huntley.
I think he does too, but do the Browns want to keep Tyler Huntley over Dorian Thompson-Robinson? I don't. DTR has there's something about DTR that you have to like.
I like DTR. I think he has the potential to develop into a good, at the least. I'm going to set the bar low. A good backup quarterback.
Would you trade? Here's the issue more, though. If you're the Browns and you think this is a team that can win and Deshaun gets hurt and perhaps Jameis gets hurt, who would you want to play next? We were in that position last year against the Ravens. Especially after did we learn anything from the Josh Dobbs trade? Does that make the front office not reactionary? Is that the right word? I don't know. Make them think, okay, this happened to us last year. I don't know that it's exactly the same scenario, but what if that happens to us again?
Last year was a fluke, Andy. I mean, you lost a lot of quarterbacks. You played a lot of quarterbacks. The backups didn't do the job. You end up with Flacco. Blah, 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 blah. It went on forever. Unlikely that it gets that bad this year. I would think you're good with three. You never know, and I would think you're good with two, personally. But again, you never know. I love the 1-2 combination of Deshaun Watson and Jameis Winston. To me, it would come down to this. If the Browns don't have an extremely hardcore opinion about one of these guys or the other, in other words, if they think, hey, DTR is pretty good and Tyler Huntley is pretty good, we'd be really happy with either one of those guys as our third guy. If that's the way they feel, then trade whichever one can get you the best return. And if it's just a fifth or a fifth round pick or something like that, well, then by all means, if one guy's even slightly better than the other, I'm not going to trade a guy that I think I can develop a quarterback. And Huntley's still in the developmental stage, even though he's been around the league for a little while with Baltimore. I'm not trading the guy that I think is better. Now, if somebody wants to go a little nutso and give you like a third, which is not going to happen, that's not done. Going to happen.
But a third is done, right? Third's a done deal. Either one of
those. It's a done deal for either guy, sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. Who would you trade? Tyler Huntley, Dorian Thompson-Robinson? And if you listen to what Zach Jackson's piece said, it's on the table. That people are talking about it, or the team is talking about it with other teams. Cool Ray is in Bedford. Hello, Cool Ray.
Cool Ray. Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
Good. You?
I'm feeling good.
You still baking?
Here's the thing. Yes, I'm still baking.
Good.
Yeah, so if y'all want another cheesecake, just ask me. It's coming down. Don't worry about it.
Do we have any other options other than cheesecake? I'm just ordering online right now.
It's cheesecake. You don't need
I'm not a huge cheesecake guy.
I do everything. I do cakes, cookies, pies, but cheesecake is my thing. I'll come up with new flavors every day.
Really?
It's my guy right there.
Yes. All right. I do. I mean, I like it, but it's not my first choice. Anyway, Corey, what do you got for us?
So, thinking about what you guys said, if I'm the Browns, I've always said the Browns have bad personnel picks. So, I love Huntley. I truly love Huntley. I wish Huntley was our backup last year. I think his problem was he just played behind a franchise quarterback. He's beaten Lamar Jackson in every head-to-head competition since high school they've ever had. So I love him as our third string, if not our second string. But it comes down to perception. If Dorian Thompson, if you believe that this young man is nothing generational, then you trade him. But I would trade him to a team that consistently has great offensive line, like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I really would go to Pittsburgh and say, listen, you guys need a quarterback desperately, and we need an offensive line, somebody from an offensive line. Like, let's make it that simple.
I don't want to trade him in division, but what the hey.
But if he, but if you don't think he's, if you don't think he's nothing generational, if you don't think he's better than, you know, what we have on our quarterback, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
No, I get what you're saying on that, Corey. It's, if somebody will give you a big return for him, okay, I get that. I, and again, it'll come down to their evaluation on these two guys. Huntley's had some really good moments, and if he's your third string quarterback, you're in great shape.
But I wouldn't even want a big return. Just give me marginal. Because you got, look, our, when our, when our team come, when our players come back from being injured, they're going to be healthy. So you just want somebody who can back that person up, but can, but also fill in. Don't go try to look for the Eiffel Tower when all you need is a little apartment. You know what I'm saying?
That was, that's heavy.
Corey, I'm just curious. You don't think DTR is replacing Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, do you?
No, but what I'm saying is sometimes you need someone that another team looked at highly great to see what you really have. He may go out there and outplay those guys, and that gives him an opportunity to actually play in the NFL. And other than just saying, oh, we just think of you as, you know how some owners look at you or some coaches look at you as what they look at you, but you got to prove yourself.
True.
You got to trade that from Tom Brady. It looked at him as a seven-round pick, but not look what he was. But given an opportunity under a great coach, under a good system, then that you might look at a person who can at least start a couple games. Maybe Russell has, maybe Russell Wilson's name is carrying him longer than it's supposed to.
Maybe, maybe. Corey, thank you.
Thank you, Corey. Keep an eye on the quarterback situation around the league.
Thanks for making me hungry, by the way. Okay, yeah, keep going.
You're welcome. It Buffalo just lost Mitch Trubisky for a while, so he's out. There are trade rumors involving Trey Lance, who is competing in Dallas with Cooper Rush to be the backup guy. Cooper Rush has played like 15 snaps in the preseason, and he's pushing 30. And though he's played effectively for Dallas, you know, Dallas traded a draft pick for Trey Lance, Dak Prescott's big contract and all that stuff. Which guy would you want possibly as your quarterback of the future if by chance, and I think it will work out for Dallas and Dak, but if it doesn't, you'd rather have Trey Lance than Cooper Rush probably moving forward. So, but just watch as the cutdowns are coming next week, because there will be some quarterback activity.
All right, we're going to head out to Berea here. Kevin Stefanski's going to speak shortly, so we, when he starts talking, we will carry it for you. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.